Wanna play a game? Do you like scary movies? Do you wanna eat some brains? Is your chainsaw arm groovy? How bloodthirsty could a talking plant be? Eat your liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Come play with us forever, cause and down ever, here we all float. I never drink wine, so you're gonna need a bigger boat. Or a throat to choke, whether you're in the prim or dairy. Got red rum where you bled from, put your dead son in a cemetery. It's him or Carrie, be very afraid. You'll be our number one fan and one get carried away. All work and no play, you know it always means you're in trouble, son. I came to chew gum and kick ass and I'm all out of bubble gum. What if Quint killed Jaws' father? What if the Blob's body was marijuana? What if the leprechaun got a job as a bank guard? What if the wolfman had a cowbell instead of every nards? Scary movie made since Oscar Wilde was writing letters had canon to watch them all and tell you how to make them better. So put your earbuds in and forget what you're planning. It's time to take our heads and shoot them out of a cannon.
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 Head cannon.
Welcome to Head Cannon. Tonight we have a very special guest, a good friend of ours we know from Comedy Sports Indianapolis, the Indianapolis comedy scene, Mr. Daryl Hollenquist. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hell yeah. Good.
Doing well. Kind of feeling like shit. I was telling Brent earlier, I've had this like sinus shit all weekend, and I've been drinking hot toddies all day, so.
Heck yeah, I love getting sick. It's an excuse to drink.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best thing about it. It's like, look, I can drink whiskey all day. I'm sick.
Like, that literally happened to, like, my boss, I want to say, like, a couple weeks ago. And I was just like, you know, just make some hot toddies. And then he's just like, I mean, that's what I'm going to do tonight. And I'm just like, you got it. I was like, you're a doctor, but you don't even need to go to one.
Just got the hot toddy.
That's funny.
What about you, Brent? What have you been up to?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just hanging out. We tried to put some Christmas lights on some bushes, some old Christmas lights that didn't work.
Oh, no.
I, like, put them all on the bush, and then there was the big... I forgot to even test them before I did
no,
it.
No, you always got to test them first.
Did they catch fire?
I did test it. I put them all on the bushes, and then they didn't work.
Oh, no.
I'm glad it didn't catch fire.
Me too, yeah.
Crispy light.
Right.
We put our lights up a couple weekends ago and we couldn't figure out why they weren't working, but then we realized, like, we plug them into this box that regulates, like, when they light up, and it detects the light outside, so when it gets dark then the lights come on, and that's why they weren't coming on, because it wasn't dark outside yet. And we're like, oh, that's why. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to know what that is. What do you call that contraption?
I don't know. I'll send you a picture of it. But it's got this sensor, and as soon as it gets dark, it kicks the light on, and then after like 5 or 6 hours, I think it just shuts them off.
That's cool.
So
yeah, I would like to think of like some alternative uses for that. I think would be. Like when it gets dark,
around Halloween.
Yeah, as soon as it gets dark, the vibrator next to your bed is like.
Like, it's time for that 10 o'clock time.
But what about you, Daryl? You said you've been getting back into doing some comedy recently.
I like how, like, my vibrator, it's not a wireless one. It's like old, like some old housewife in the 50s would have, like, plugged in. Like, you know, like the old grandma's, like, plug that goes into her old ass lamp. Like, it's like that. Like,
yeah.
If you bent it a little too hard, it would just snap.
Yeah, by Vibomatic.
It's got an Ethernet cord in it. It's so wired.
I go to a lot of yard sales, guys.
Get good deals on those. You gotta take it into the Antiques Roadshow, and they gotta bring an expert in.
The expert. Yeah.
These would have went for $75 back in the day. That's pretty expensive.
That's $1,000 today.
Right. So this was inside of the lady that played Dorothy in Wizard of Oz?
Twice.
That's twice. Twice. This is worth a lot more than you think.
You got this from the ancestors of Typhoid Mary?
It truly was a steal.
She named it Toto.
Silly.
And my asshole's name is Kansas.
Well, that's it for the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll see you next time. No, I'm kidding.
but Daryl, I was asking you what you've been doing some comedy lately at Comedy Sports and elsewhere, or?
Yeah, like I'm getting back into Comedy Sports this month. I've been doing a lot of like stand up and sort of like alternative comedy shows. I still do improv too. Just getting on the road, doing gigs. I'm doing some Don't Tell stuff, so that'll be fun.
What'd you call that?
It's called Don't Tell Comedy, where like you do gigs and like they don't tell you where the location is, and it's supposed to be a semi-secretive lineup, but the big gig is like just don't tell the location. So I'm doing one of those and it's more of like the specific location. I'm gonna be in Lexington in a week or so. So yeah, it'll be really fun.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Nice. Well, and Brent, you were telling me before about a comedy special with Mike Birbiglia. You were saying he puts a special out like every 4 years or something. I've seen lots of his clips. I'm not super familiar with that guy though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, he's great. He's the guy. Okay. He suffers from sleep disorder, from a really bad sleep disorder where he sleepwalks.
Oh,
like,
wow.
An insane amount. Homeboy, like, he sleeps in a sleeping bag with like oven mittens on, and the sleeping bag it straps him in, dude. And because he gets up and he starts, like, he said that this has been widely known in his earlier specials, but he like got up in like a hotel, fought like a fucking not a badger, like some like thought like a Wolverine or something like that was in his hotel room, and he jumped out of a second story hotel room and just started running.
I feel like I've heard about this. This is like almost like the like that Wu-Tang affiliate guy that like cut his own dick off.
You remember? What? sleep dick? Is that what?
Yeah, you remember that? Did you hear about that?
Oh my god!
I feel like you've told me this a long time ago, but I want to know again.
I don't know.
Like how Wu-Tang is like, he's just an affiliate.
He's
not on the album. He's not on the album. Yeah. He's not on the Sorelli album.
It's like, I got liquid swords pouring out of my pelvis, dude. Crazy.
Oh, he was fucked up. Yeah, look, Andre Christbearer Johnson, a Wu-Tang affiliate.
I don't even know him.
Cut off his penis, tried to commit suicide by leaping from the second story balcony of an apartment. He was half of North Star, a California duo who were signed to Wu-Tang's label. Yeah, I'm not familiar. I just heard this story. I don't think I've ever heard their music or anything. But
how are you in a group called North Star and you cut off your Big Dipper? I don't get it.
Oh my god.
I don't get it. Sir. Ow.
That's right. That's why you always need a babysitter. You always need a babysitter when you're getting fucked up.
Really need a babysitter if you went Wu-Tang.
That's what you, that's supposed to be you God's job. That's all you God. He's supposed to just be there making sure you don't cut your own dick off. I don't know where he was.
Like, he saved like, so many dicks. You know, like, you God, man. I'm serious. Thank you. Man. I almost cut my dick off. You help me.
It's no problem.
It's what I do.
And he's just like, just dark cloaks away into an alley.
He knows when his friends are about to do it.
Oh man. that liquid, I'm gonna go back, I'm gonna listen to that liquid swords joke later. It's gonna fucking kill me. Oh man. Sorry, you were saying something, Brent. I'm sorry, I totally derailed us.
It's like, just about Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. he had a good stand-up special. It's called like Old Man and the Pool, and it's very like a fringe show almost. It's like almost like a one man play a little bit.
Okay,
nice. But it's also stand-up. It's very stand-up-ishy as well. But it's a good story based routine. It was good.
I think a lot of his later stuff kind of leans like that. And have you seen the improv movie he made?
Yes.
Don't Think about, Twice. About,
yes, and it's about the about being in an improv group, right?
I love that movie. It was Keegan-Michael Key in the movie. Yeah, I loved that movie so much, and I thought it was very poignant. And very, like, brutally honest, too, just specifically, like, with this. Like, I will put it in, like, I love movies about comedy in general, and I put that movie, like, right next to, like, Funny People and, like, Top Five and fucking the fucking producers. Like, I put it next to, like, all of those. I think it's very insightful.
Oh, yeah, and there's a good movie that you might like. Are you familiar with Doug Stanhope? The comedian, he's got a new movie. Oh, it's called The Road, or it's about him being a comic, and it's supposed to be very realistic. I haven't got to see it. It's supposed to be really good.
See, I got peeped up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Nice. Also, okay. when we were talking about that earlier, we also like briefly mentioned the whole Matt Rife thing. Are you familiar with that?
Oh my god. What's so funny is like everybody was like all the comics that had heard of him were just kind of like he's okay, and then like everybody was just going gaga over him. I wasn't like in the wave of comics that was just like roasting the nigga because I didn't give a fuck about him. It's right. Just like, okay, cool, you're making gigs, great. I'm not, I can't hate right now because I'm not doing what you're doing, but whatever. But then it seemed like all of these people that were like defending him so hard, like just went like completely silent when this special came out. Like,
yeah.
A few people were like, "Oh my god, this is what the special is," and it was just, like, just gone.
Yeah. Well, and
yeah, I thought that shit was so funny.
Yeah. When I haven't watched your special, I've only seen a couple clips, which is like, it's just the word. Like, it's not even like it's offensive, and like joking about women getting beat up isn't funny inherently. But like the jokes themselves were just like hack, like nothing original. Like, oh, a woman should be in the kitchen like making food. Like that joke's like hundreds of years old. It's not even anything fresh.
And I don't know too much about him, but I wonder if he's like someone that like tried comedy and put it on TikTok and just kept doing that, or like getting famous off of like clips, and he's really only been doing it like a little bit of time. Like, I literally don't know anything about this motherfucker, but the way it seems like there's like a lot of folks that were like, yeah, I do comedy, and then like they've been popping off and they're able to sell a lot of tickets, but then they just like are not funny. Like there's another dude that like, I'm not like roasting them or anything, like just because like I know people that have bought tickets to his show. Like, have you heard of Drewski?
I don't think so.
Is he another one of the TikTok people that?
I feel like he's got like a online, like a modern online like
presence,
boom, and that got him a lot of shows. And like a lot of people that I like either know or it's people I work with have said like they've gone to the show and it's just doing crowd work bad. Just because they just don't have the actual, like, longevity and, like, concept of, like, stage time.
Yeah, and what you gotta understand is that, like, they throw out these clips, right, that are just, like, a 30-second to 45-second to maybe a minute clip, and it's all crowd work, but what people don't realize is, like, you can do up to 5 shows in a weekend, probably, maybe, yeah, right, like, you could probably do 5 sets if you were lucky.
Even more. Weekend. And like, depending on what you're doing.
If you're filming all of them, you're gonna get something, that's good, at least, but, like, your substance is shit. And that's what that Matt Rife guy did. He would just go to tons of shows. His fan base was like middle-aged women who thought he was hot. Right?
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of like, oh my God, he looks like Handsome Squidward. It was a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. Kara and I, we have a buddy. She bought tickets, man. And the Matt Rife tickets are like a couple hundred bucks.
That's
for like
nuts.
A shit seat.
That's fucking
and
nuts.
So what my theory is that, like, people who are his handlers, like whoever is his publicist or whatever you call it, they know that he sucks, but they know his clips are on fire.
Right.
So they went ahead and they sold these things for super, super expensive.
Yeah.
And people bought them up. And so now this Netflix special came out and people are like, this sucks. And the lady that we know that bought like 4 tickets for $200 a piece, like, she's like, I don't even want to go to this thing.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Kara and I were talking about it and we were like, well, let's fucking watch it. Let's see like when that joke even comes up. And that joke that fucked them over, like, it's within 3 minutes.
Or within the first, yeah.
It's in the first 3 minutes and we shut it off afterwards because we were like, not only is this joke hack, but like it's just... It's been done so many times, and fuck that guy.
Yeah. Well, it's just not funny. Well, and it's weird that, like, these clips of crowd work, they're taken off on TikTok and Facebook and all that, and it gives you, like, a comedian could be good at crowd work, which I think Matt Rife, at least all the clips I saw of him, I was like, oh, he's a pretty funny dude.
And there's a place for it, absolutely.
Yeah, but like, I'd never seen any of his actual stand-up. And then, like, and then this special comes out, and it just, I was like, oh, this is like the worst shit I've ever seen. Like, this is just bad. And there are a lot of people who have like given their opinions on, you know, there's a lot of people talking about how he got like work done on his jawline and he got dentures. Cause if you look at pictures, like videos of that dude on like Wildin' Out and shit just a few years ago, like his teeth.
He was
all,
on Wildin' Out? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he did shit on Wildin'
Out. That makes a lot more sense.
And his teeth are all fucked up. And like, so he's obviously, he admits to having dentures done, but it looks like he's probably had some other work done, which whatever, I don't give a shit about that. But, but he seems to have this like deep-seated insecurity, or this is what a lot of people posit.
Oh, I see. Okay, go ahead.
That he has this deep-seated insecurity, and he fears that he's gotten this notoriety, not because he's funny, but because he's attractive.
And that was the big thing that when comics were like, he's okay, and they're just like, shut up, you're hating. They're like, you're just defending him because he's hot. Like,
right.
that was the big, and like, just say that, you know, just say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and like the theory, like the prevailing theory on TikTok seems to be, and I think it's one of two things. One is giving a little bit more credit to Matt Rife. The other one is giving a little less credit. Neither one are good. But the prevailing theory is that he has this deep-seated insecurity and he's like resentful of his female fans that have launched him to celebrity.
Yeah.
And so like to strike back at them, he tells this domestic violence joke and it's like cutting off his female. And it comes from a place of like, no, fuck these women for making me popular just because I'm pretty. I want to prove to dudes that I'm actually funny. And so he pursues this like base level, not funny, like incel comedy, like beating women.
Into the senior in high school that's finna be, that thinks they're king.
Yeah.
Energy. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
We're grown.
Yeah,
and you will face consequences. You're stupid ass jokes, bro.
I think you're exactly right. And you know what else happened? I think that like he got famous on TikTok, and then when he would do later sets, I bet you every time. And I heard, this isn't me, I heard someone else talking about this on a podcast, but that like his show is probably just a bunch of people yelling shit out trying to get him to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, how is he building his comedy at all? Like, I love improv. That's totally, I mean, the dude is good at it, I think. Because I'm only getting like
a he's good at the crowd work shit that you see, but and that's like, and I don't even do stand up, but that's my concern for stand up comedians. And Daryl, maybe you can speak to this, but all these people like watching TikTok, watching Facebook, all they see is this crowd work, and they're like, oh, my, I go to stand up comedy shows. My job is to like yell shit out and get involved.
God,
like,
and That's a common thing with people that have never been to a comedy show, and then they'll show up, and then a comic will like target them if sometimes like in a joking way, sometimes not, and then that now becomes their expectation. Or just like, I went to a comedy show and I spoke up, and then somebody said something back to me, and now, oh, so comedy is just saying fuck you to people in the crowd. Like, there's that expectation, and then it's not all the way in that same sort of vein, but like with the sort of crowd work situation, there's a lot of folks that'll just like, there was the old, I was gonna bring up like back when Hannibal Buress was still doing stand up and like how a person in the crowd like taped the joke that set off all the Cosby shit. And it's like that's now the expectation too, of like, he wasn't even like at like a normal, like he wasn't like headlining or anything. He was working out material somewhere.
Right.
And someone just caught a clip of him. So it's like that same sort of like, oh, this is what comedy is. It's you just figuring out something in the moment and then just saying it into a microphone. And there's that same, I feel like both of those go hand in hand, like those, you know, I come to a comedy show, I yell out something, and now you're gonna either target me or take what I say, or specifically stand up, and or you know, the I go to a comedy show and it's just you figuring it out in the moment, so I'm supposed to help you. Even there's so many people that are like, oh, I'm helping you out.
Yeah,
and it's just like, motherfucker, no, I didn't ask for help. Yeah, like none of us did. Some people need it, like, but like,
right?
Nobody asked you.
Yeah, but you don't show up like hoping that somebody from the audience is gonna fuck with you. Like, that's, you
like,
know,
no, like, and if that's your, and if that's your style of comedy, like that's your style of comedy, and I feel like there's not many people that do it, thankfully, just because that's gonna set a bad precedent.
Yeah,
for crowds, and like only specific people do it. Like, there's someone in Indy, Tim McLaughlin, like he's like the only stand-up I know that I've ever since I started doing stand-up, and like I would see him at shows, like he just does all crowd work, and it's, but he's good at it, and he, and there's a point to it, and there's a flow, and it comes in and out, and like, you know, maybe there was like a few jokes here and there, but it was still like mainly crowd work, and there was like a point. It wasn't just I'm fucking with you in the crowd. There was like a, it was like we're surveying the room. It was tact. There was tact to it.
Well, you know, like, yeah. And what I feel like it just creates like, I don't know, poor expectation or just like bad etiquette in an audience. Like if all you ever see is this kind of like crowd work shit in on TikTok or on Facebook, and you don't see the comedian asking for it, like, okay, now I've done my set, now is the time where we talk. Like, people have this misconception of like what it is to go to a stand-up show, and like anything else in theater, keep your fucking mouth shut unless somebody asks you to open it, you know.
And I would say you nailed it. Like, people don't see the parts where they ask for the permission first. Or like just the, hey, I'm breaking the already broken fourth wall even more.
Right. Right.
To just straight up ask you with the Bud Light a question. like people miss that. I think it's becoming more of a trend. Like it, that's so right that you say that. Like even in like a lot of the clips I see, like they're rarely enough time back into the set for the person to be like, okay, now I'm doing something here. It's a lot of the times like right in the middle of it,
yeah,
and they're talking to somebody already, and it's just like, oh, unless it's comedian destroys heckler, and then at that point, it goes back to that thing we were saying earlier, where it's someone yelling out, they're like, "Well, I'm trying to help you. Don't you need hecklers?" Blah 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 blah. Like, it's
right.
Like, no, you're drunk and you're embarrassing your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. No one likes what you're doing right now.
Right. Come on, Derek. You can.
Yeah. But I think, but to the Matt Rife thing, like, you know, the interesting thing to me was he seems to be speed running like the alt-right incel, you know, the swerve to this alt-right crowd, because
speed run.
Well, as soon as this special dropped and he started getting feedback on it, he was on Jordan Peterson's podcast. And so, like, and Jordan Peterson was like, "Oh, so now you've been canceled by the left for your they're coming after you over your jokes. You've been canceled, you know." And Matt Rife's like, "Yeah, dog, I've been canceled, bro." And I'm like, God, like, it almost seems intentional that you're like, because a lot of people I feel like say dumb shit, and they're like, "Okay, reasonable people kind of hate me now. What do I have left? Oh, I have these like." Stupid idiots on the alt-right who will just, I said, like, they'll embrace you no matter who you are, as long as you say something like transphobic, homophobic, hating women, whatever it is, like, they're like, yeah, please come over here, we love that kind of hate.
Kara told me that his Twitter, like, his Twitter response to everybody was a link to, like, a hat with like a spinning propeller on it.
It was to special needs helmets. Yeah.
Oh,
special needs helmet.
Yeah, it was like to anybody who's ever been offended by my joke. Here's a link, and it was a link to like special needs helmet, and it was like I said, it feels like Matt Rife is speed running the gauntlet from like being like publicly acclaimed. Into like this incel alt-right bullshit, you know? I don't know.
He went faster than motherfucking J.K. Rowling. Damn.
He really did. Yeah, and just as unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah, just as unnecessary, bro.
Yeah, it's like, Rowling, just like, quit saying shit about trans people. People love you. People love you. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut up. God. People love you.
The game is so fire. Shut up. that was so many people last year.
All you got, all you got to do is shut your fucking mouth. That's all you got to do. You know. Anyway, we should talk a little bit about Daryl. You wanna talk about the movie you brought to us and kind of your general like high level thoughts on it.
And Daryl, I'm really happy that black people finally got a Saw movie.
Yo, I thought it was gonna be Chris Rock's, but
I didn't see
that was Spiral.
Spiral? I didn't see Spiral. Did you see Spiral? I never watched it.
No, and that was part of it. Like, yeah. a few of our black avant-garde film watchers was like, nah. We can watch other ones. But yeah, The Blackening. I saw, this is like a newer one. It's based off of a sketch. Yeah, it's based off of a sketch by 3Pete. And I want to say they premiered it on Comedy Central, but I remember seeing it online, like just people sharing it online, mostly. And it got turned into a movie. Very funny. Came out this year in the United States. So it came out this summer, and I was immediately, I remember seeing the trailer and I was like, I can't watch this now, but I'm gonna watch this later. And it just, so good. I was watching, I remember the first time watching it, and they even talk about this in the movie, but I was like, this is literally Black Cabin in the Woods. I was like, this is, well, so I guess kind of giving like a fun like little intro to it. So on me and my co-host Tenna on our podcast Spicy Magic Vibes, we did an episode where we talked about Scream.
Oh,
and
nice.
We also talked about like just the main part of it was Scream, but then we also talked about Scary Movie as well. And it's one of our favorite episodes we do, and just like I talk about how Scream did sort of the intellectual homework that Scary Movie got to benefit from, because Scream already in itself was not a parody, but it was just like a breakdown of the genre.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was still taking itself seriously. And I think Cabin in the Woods similarly did that.
Good point. I like that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it obviously had jokes and stuff too, but I think it played more towards like a breakdown of the genre. And then I think The Blackening was like the Scary Movie equivalent to Scream or Cabin in the Woods. So like the new chapter of homework was done by Cabin in the Woods, and then everybody I think falling in love with Jordan Peele when Get Out came out. Like Get Out to Black, like, I talked about Get Out already on the podcast too, but like Get Out to Black people was so ill just to watch, like for that movie to come out. So then like for them to like reference it so much in The Blackening, I'm just like, we've come full circle. We made it.
Well, they reference Scream too, real quick, because it applies when you guys like, oh, I'm so woozy.
Yeah. Oh my god.
There's that scene, and then there's like part of the one of the questions in the game is like, you know, name a black character who survived a horror film, and they mentioned Jada Pinkett and
Farrell mentions the two first people
to die in Scream 2. They die right off the bat. I was, because I love the Scream movies, and I was like, no, they do not make it past like the first 10 minutes.
Bro, and literally when they say that, and I was like, oh yeah, y'all get killed first. And I was like, y'all done. Y'all not making it.
Did we get a Jay Farrow? Am I remembering it right? Eddie Murphy impersonation in?
Yeah, I think he got like a little like maybe laugh, maybe like a quick laugh or maybe like a quick like finger, because I feel like the finger is also
that's such a good, yeah, you're right, that's such a good physicality.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Eddie Murphy, one of the guys, who is it? Jermaine Fowler, who played Clifton. Mm-hmm. He played Eddie Murphy's son in Coming to America, the sequel.
I knew I recognized this motherfucker somewhere. I could not put it on where I saw this, where this motherfucker was.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Because like I was doing that with like everybody in the movie. Because like I just recently finished Snowfall. Mm-hmm. The FX show about like the cocaine and crack epidemic in the '80s, and my guy with the gun,
King,
King.
Oh, Melvin Gregg, yeah.
Yeah, Melvin Gregg's in Snowfall, and I was just like, that's Man Boy.
I like that King got shot twice in the same hole.
Yeah. I was cracking the fuck up. Yeah. Oh my god.
Allison or one of the characters like pulled the arrow out, was like helping him pull the arrow through, and like stabbed herself in the chest, like stabbed herself in the arm.
Oh my god. Allison was fun. Honestly, I loved everybody. Everybody was cracking me up.
Yeah.
I think
No, dude, when they dose her with Adderall, that's like, that's how I feel when I take my ADD meds. I like want to like paint black streaks across my face and like I'm totally concentrated. Mm-hmm. And that song, I don't know what that song was, but that was freaking amazing. That fight scene that she had when she had the Wolverine claws.
Yeah, she's like, yeah.
And that hip hop song was just like really cool.
I remember watching the movie, and I was like, when they got to like the game, some of them questions, I was like, oh god, I'm glad there's six of us. Like,
yeah,
I was like, I'm glad there's six of us. I was like, a couple of those, I was like, I wouldn't have had this. Yeah. I was like,
but there were some of them, like, so just to go through those questions, like, who was Sojourner Truth? I was like, all right, good. How long was the Dark Aunt Viv on the Fresh Prince? I might have been able to.
Was like three seasons. I was so confident.
I was like, I think I would have guessed that correctly. Three or four seasons, you know.
Oh god!
But, you know, there's the social commentary in that too. When they were like, they rehired someone with lighter skin.
Yes. Yeah.
I'd never thought of before, and I was like, fuck, this movie's different than I thought it was going to be.
I think that happened
like about around that time. I was like, oh shit, this is going to be good.
I think that happened on My Wife and Kids too, because. Damon Wayans, like, he had the daughter, Claire. She was a dark girl that was in 3LW, I think. And then she got recast with the girl who was the daughter for, like, the rest of the
story. Oh, really?
That's what Yeah, like, I because I remember that. So I was like, wait, she's famous. Why did you recast her? I was like, she's well, I guess that's funny.
Well, that was, but some of, like, and I knew what is the NAACP. I was like, all right, got it. But then I got it. I'll admit, the Black National Anthem, Daryl, is this, I never heard of it. Never heard of it.
I know what it is. And the first verse, I was like, oh, I barely could make it through the first verse. When it says like, second, I was like, nope, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It was gorgeous, though. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, Lift Every Voice. I think Black people didn't know it was like the Black national anthem, I think, until like the past like 6-7 years, and now it's like it's got a hold on Black people like Birria Ramen did 2 summers ago.
Although that shit's delicious, so
it really is. But I'm just like, damn, when did we? Somebody just text us, just so we all know, like, that's what the move is tonight, okay? We're going to choir practice so I can get the lyrics. It's like people that know the all three verses to the fucking national anthem.
Right, yeah.
And I'm just like, barely even go to sports games to even know it anymore.
Sports games.
What about spades? Because I've heard of spades, but I don't know how to play spades. Do you know how to play spades?
I do. Spades is just dirty hearts, but it's spades.
Okay.
And I hate saying that, but like, although my
dude, you sounded so fucking cool just now. Spades is just dirty hearts, and I have like no fucking idea what you're talking about. But like, I want to play both of those games.
So I learned Dirty Hearts on the computer, because like back, you know how like computers have like Solitaire and the bomb game and
yeah
and shit like Mine, that.
Minesweeper or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, Minesweeper, yeah. A lot of computers would have Dirty Hearts on it.
Oh.
And when I was playing it, I was like,
it was like Black computers, though.
Wait a minute, what?
It was like Black computers had Dirty
Hearts. This is any like Windows 95, anything like that. Like, it would just be, yeah. It would just have hearts on there.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at it, and I was seeing how the game was played, and I was like, this is spades, but like with hearts. And then I was playing spades at one point. I was like, this is hearts, but with spades.
So whoa, like, the Vivian, the Vivian spades.
So the quick rundown of it is you play with a partner and you divvy out the deck and you have like the hand, like you all have like the equal amount of deck cards divvied out.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your partner are supposed to think of how many books that you can get playing. So a book is one turn of each of you laying down a card. The first person that lays it down has the suit, and then it's whoever has the highest in that suit. Now, if you don't have one in that suit, but you have a spade,
okay,
spade wins. But then if you play a card in like that suit that someone played, like the point of you playing a spade is that you don't have anything in that suit. So if you renege on it, so like if it was clubs, I don't have any clubs, I play a spade, I get that book, and then it's like clubs again, and it's like I play a club, and it's like I thought you ain't have no clubs. And then it's, yeah, just like now you're reneging on books, and now you gotta take those back, and that's how your friends get shot at Thanksgiving, you know what I mean?
What's
and
that?
Then the spades trump each other, and then usually you got to pick between if your big ace is, if the ace is high or ace is low, you know,
yeah.
If jokers are in, if your joker's in, then your joker just is, it's just your joker's whatever, and usually people just will say, I win. And so a lot of times people, if the joker's out, you got to make sure big joker, little joker, big joker trumps little joker, you know, shit like that. And
are there different house rules too? Like, are people
you can add house rules, but really it's just you just stick with spades. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I see more house rules with Uno than spades, which has the same energy. It's just generational. Like it's the same energy. Hearts, like I say, it's just the same thing. But hearts.
Dude, can I share something with you? A memory you just shot into my brain?
Go for it.
I saw the most amazing thing. Out of high school, I went to Vincennes University. And at Vincennes University, I saw this very large table of black women playing Uno. And it was the most entertaining thing I had ever seen. To hear someone say, reverse the motherfucker, and the top of the round, so amazing. These people were like, I don't know, like, I got chills when I remember this is a core memory, and I thought, reverse the motherfucker, and it was so amazing.
Reverse the motherfucker!
That's exactly right.
I swear, yes, it's the exact same energy. Those are spades, Uno, and Tonk are like the three, like, games, like, oh my god, like, it is, and that is so funny. So, like, that whole climax when he was just like, no one would teach me how to play spades. I was on the fucking floor.
Yeah.
It's like, that's such, like, anytime, like, you know, just being in, like, these black spaces, and I'm like, oh, I'm a pretty nerdy black and whatnot, and, like, I was pretty corny in high school, so, like, there's a certain, like, social things that I didn't tend to all the time. Like, I still figured it out, and I still would, like, do stuff with, like, my family and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, I always would try to, like, if there's somebody, like, black, they'll say, oh, no, I play spades. I'm like, oh, no, this is. I try not to hold it against them, and I'm just like, here's this link. Here's this welcome back to the team, brother. Or, like, here's some shit like that. So, when they was just like, no one teach me how to play spades, you gotta sit on one fucking up. I was like, these niggas is doing too much. I was like, damn, this is really how you make a villain. I was like, they really just could have just taught them how to play spades. That shit killed me. Shit, I wasn't black enough. That's
oh, dude, that character.
Oh, my God.
They threw the spin because I was like, this guy, that guy was too, I was like too suspect of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, so that it can't be him. It's going to be the trying to throw me the curveball.
Mm-hmm.
But then it totally was him. Yeah. They did a good job. They did that on purpose, I think. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't expected him to lose his effect of talking and talk in a different way at the end.
Like
the Usual Suspects or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like Kaiser Soze.
I'm trying to remember, like, if it was in, like, what, like, the Scream, like, not Scream, or, like, Scary Movie, when Doofy is, like, has his walk, and then he just walks normal. I thought that was, like, similarly, like, what you said, like, with Clifton, like, he was just gonna drop, and he just, like, stops talking like Steve, and starts talking like Stefan.
It's funny you said that, Daryl, because that is a Usual Suspects reference.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
In that movie, the character Kaiser Sosa is, like, a disabled person. But more physically, where they Doofus was meant to, but yeah, like he walks away and he starts to walk in a normal way.
I didn't know that was a Usual Suspects reference too. Like I just recently, like, not when the most recent Scream movie came out, but the one before it.
Okay.
My friend, she made me watch like 2 through 5, and I think in one of them, like when David Arquette gets shot and he's like walking around like that, I started crying laughing. I was like, is that why in Scary Movie Doofy walks like that? I was fucking
crying. I've not seen that, so that's interesting.
I wonder if that in itself was a Usual Suspects reference, though, too. Like, because...
Maybe.
You know, the movies do a lot of homework, you know?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure.
Which meant I really want to watch... I still haven't watched The Sixth Scream. I was supposed to watch it with my daughter, but we watched the first three, and I think she got kind of bored, so I think I just need
to
watch.
Burnt out, maybe? Burnt out over the same kind of thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it?
I just kept saying, like...
Jennifer Ortega?
She's in the fifth one and the sixth one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I'll have to watch those.
Yeah.
I think she's, like, Nev Campbell's, like, niece or, like, her little cousin or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but did you
like somebody's?
But there are a couple returning actors from the previous Scream movies, Jenna Ortega included. There was one other. Her name's Michelle something, I think. But she got dropped from Scream 7, which they're about to film. I think it's directed by Christopher Landon, who did like Happy Death Day or whatever, and Brent, a movie we called called
Happy
Freaky.
Death Day, fuck yeah.
Yeah. We did Freaky on our podcast with Vince Vaughn and but that guy's directing it. And one actress got dropped for making like pro-Palestine statements.
Ooh.
And then right after that, Jenna Ortega dropped too. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with Scream 7, but
it's at rife with controversy.
Yeah, my whole thing is just leave Sydney alone.
Leave Sydney alone.
Yeah, and now she's not even gonna be in it. And I'm like, finally.
No, well, she Neve Campbell. She wasn't in the sixth one either, was she?
I think the sixth one is. I think that's the one where I was like, I didn't think she was in that one, and I was like, finally, they're gonna leave Sydney alone. Like, just stop. Like, she's been through so much.
Yeah.
Like, I just loved all of the. I just think everybody nailed all of the references and the energy. Like, it definitely was one that, like, you think you would not pay attention to it as it's going on. Mm-hmm. And then you're watching it and you're like, oh, no, I'm genuinely watching it. I'm like, I'm intrigued by it. Like, clearly, like, there's still the jokes that keep it, like, at a fun depth. So it's not too House of a Thousand Corpses-y or, like, it's not too crazy or nothing like that.
Right.
But it's still engaging to where you're like, well, who is it? Like, I really wanted Morgan and Sean to come back, even though I'm like, y'all not coming back.
Yeah.
Like, you think one of them was going to make it, but then
Well, you would think, well, and it's wild how, like, and I feel like you have to have people die at the beginning to establish stakes, right?
Because
if nobody dies, then you're like, well, is this even worth worrying about? So they have Morgan and Sean die. But I feel like it's interesting. All the other characters live. No, like, nobody else dies. That. You know?
I like that too.
And I like, and obviously it's like, I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but it's like common horror movie trope. Like, the black person doesn't make it till the end of the movie. But I think...
They
all do. And I think even on the poster of this movie, it was like,
it says we all can't die first.
Yeah, we all can't die first, which is great, which is hilarious.
I love that Diedrich Bader was in it just for a little bit.
Oh yeah,
I thought that first for like 2 seconds, like the truest of 2 seconds, that was Brendan Fraser, and I was like, no, it's not.
No, well, that guy's always so good. I mean, I love him, and, you know, I used to watch the Drew Carey Show when I was a kid, and, like, Office Space is so good, and, like, and he's one of my favorite follows on Twitter. Like, he's consistently posting shit to Twitter, and he's, like, pretty funny dude, you know?
When that line came out when he was like, if I was invited to the cookout, I wouldn't even go. And then he gives an explanation why, and they were like, that's actually a really good answer.
Yeah. That was so funny. He said, I'd be honored, but I wouldn't go.
Fucking Daryl, dude, this movie was shit, man. I love it. I was a little worried at first because it was pretty corny in the beginning, because they were like, just showing you the stereotypical like sorts of characters. I was like, okay, what's this about? And then finally, like, it switched over.
And once it goes...
Yeah.
It's gonna be perfect, yeah.
But
I was even happy to see Yvonne Orji just like in comedy. Like, I've loved her in Insecure, and like, I think she was on Black Lady Sketch Show too, but like, I want her to do more stuff. Like, I just be like, I got a good
She's like trying to like adjust her voice to sound as possible.
Well,
I also love the fight scene. That was like one of my favorite. Like when Made You Look is playing, that was when they're just whipping his ass and that when they were whipping the killer's ass in that mask, killing me.
Yeah,
I'm so happy they're getting a sequel.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Which they said I read that they were trying to think of it like a Glass Onion, Knives Out type of like. Maybe new cast every time, you know, it's like a new, which I think is a great idea, you know?
I think that's dope.
Yeah. But there are so many, like, cause we were supposed to do this episode, I think a couple weeks ago, and we had to push it off. So I've got like so many random notes that I'm going through where I'm like trying to remember what it means. Like, I don't have the exact context, but there was one where I think somebody's trying to open a door and somebody was like, yeah, there you go, jerk it off. And they just turned around and they were like, kill yourself. Like, crack me up, man. But yeah, so many fun references, like Friday the 13th, People Under the Stairs, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, yep. So many, like, fun little references, you know?
Yeah, I also just love, like, when they were trying to pick who's the blackest, when they were just like, you literally have a gun. It's like, you
literally have a gun. Yeah, no, I was about to mention that, and then that, like, Namdi, they were talking about Namdi being from Africa, and they were like, you're in the original packaging.
I miss that. That's awesome.
Oh, my fuck. I love this movie. I need to watch, I can't, it sucks because it's, like, December now, and I'm like, fuck, it's not Halloween. Right.
It's close enough. But then from that scene specifically, I think they're talking to who is it? Dwayne, is he the he's the gay character? Who I think Dwayne Perkins, he was one of the writers on this. He wrote this movie.
He was in 3-peat, I think. Yeah. Okay. I think he's in 3-peat.
Okay, nice. Yeah, well, he, and like there's one line where they're like, gayness is whiteness wrapped in a bunch of dicks.
Oh my god.
But then I also
love, like, mouths like a bunch of dicks.
A bunch of dicks.
And then so finally Clifton gets voted out for voting for Trump, and then
he's like, all lives matter.
he slaps King, and then he says all lives matter before he leaves the room.
When you frame it like that, it's so much more funny.
Oh my god. But he got his wish, though, because it turned into, because it was originally who's the blackest.
Yeah.
And then it turned into, nah, just fuck you. Yeah. So you do get to still, you can champion that if you want it. You got it.
But it was funny, but I like how he was like, almost like pretty obviously the killer at that point, and he was like, this is exactly what the killer would want us to do, like turn on each other like a bunch of animals, you know. But oh man, then there's that part later where they're like hiding in a vent, and one of them, I forget, I think it was Dwayne, but somebody's like, their phone goes off, and he's like, oh, Kiki Palmer retweeted me.
Oh my god.
Was that clever or what? When he turned, what a clever idea! Turn off the cell phone blocking signal to listen for like all the dings.
Yeah,
that was clever. I thought, I'd not seen that before.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I love the ending when they get, like, they wait till morning and then they call a fire truck instead of the cops, and you get fucking hosed.
That's such a great joke, because they're like, should we call the cops? And then they all start laughing, and then so they call the fire department, and then they end up getting sprayed by the fire.
I was like, get the fuck out of here.
which is a great, like, one of my favorite moments in movies ever. I think it's so brilliant. And I was just listening to a podcast. I mean, we brought this up on our podcast when we did this movie, but somebody brought it up the other day. But at the end of Get Out, where he's like, it's at the end, he's escaped, and there's a cop car pulling up. And everybody watching that movie, like, I feel like that's one of the best moments in cinema, for even for white people who don't think about, like, what's it like to encounter a cop as a black person. Like, everybody watching that movie is like, oh no,
oh no,
oh no. Like,
yeah.
And it puts you in the seat of puts you in the head of a black person experiencing, like, oh no, a cop's rolling up now, that's bad news, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't
know. Then it's Little Ray.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, and then when the door opens and it says TSA.
Yeah, and then it's...
And then everybody's like, thank you.
Yeah.
It's so relieved. Such a relief.
Yeah, but that moment is so brilliant. And this, the end of this movie just kind of reminded me of that as a little bit more like tongue in cheek, you know, kind of nod to that.
Yeah.
Another, you know what it reminded me of? What's the movie? Sorry, do you remember the movie? I have to ask you, Corey. The female lead in Guns Akimbo.
Oh, Agent Smith's niece, Samara Weaving. Samara Weaving.
She's in the movie where she is marrying a rich dude.
She's the bride. What's that movie called?
All the rich dudes explode at the end.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
Explode all over her, and at the end, she's sitting in front of the mansion, like smoking a cigarette, waiting for the police to arrive.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of that a little bit. Like, it's like, everything's calm. Everything's fine, but now it's like outside forces dealing with your shit.
Which is that's another great movie. Ready or Not is the name of the movie. Coincidentally,
it's actually very similar. It's kind of similar. Go ahead, Corey. Sorry.
I was going to say directed by the guys who directed Scream 5 and 6.
Okay. This is a good tie-in, Daryl. This movie, Ready or Not, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Ready or Not.
Yeah, okay, so this woman, she marries into a very wealthy family who has a mansion. Mm-hmm. They have a game night, like the day before you're supposed to marry the guy or whatever, and they pass you a random card generator, and you choose a game out of it. And she chooses, and it could be any game. It could be Monopoly or chess.
Right, but and most of the games are no big deal. It's just playing a game, right?
She chooses the one game you're not supposed to choose, hide and seek. But hide and seek is played differently in that household. It's like you hide and the rest of the family tries to kill you.
Yeah. And so cool. it's so good. And it really is because she's this like just a regular person, and it's her experiencing this incredible amount of like wealth and privilege, and it's really good. It's a really good movie.
Dude, it's up,
really
man.
Good.
I didn't watch this, but I'm assuming this is what it's about. The movie with the dinner that has like my guy that looks like Daniel Craig as a chef, and I'm assuming he's kidnapped a bunch of people on an island.
The menu. We did the
is
menu.
Is that what the menu is? Damn near.
It's a little different.
It's a little different, but it's similar.
Yeah, there are a lot of common themes.
I'm assuming the menu is I brought all these people that have some kind of connection to each other, a la Clue, to my island, and I'm gonna play games, and whoever loses is gonna be a fucking bird. That's what I think that movie is.
I mean, there are a lot of common themes. There are a lot of common themes of like privilege and like rich douchebags. And getting what you deserve, like there's a lot of there. Yeah. Both of those, I recommend both those movies. So
yeah, you would love both these movies, Daryl.
I was gonna say I wanted to see the menu. I have no idea that Ready or Not exists, and that is very fun. And I definitely would.
Oh, that's a great Ready or Not is so fun. It's so much fun.
I just did a quick look up of that movie. It was a $6 million, and it made like $57 million.
Yeah. Which I think is part of the reason why those guys were offered the Scream franchise after Wes Craven died, you know?
Very fair. Yeah.
But it's good. It's a solid movie, Ready or Not.
Hell yeah.
It's a great ending.
Yeah.
Very satisfying.
As is the Black Moon. I'm excited for the sequel. I want there to be more. I think it's really interesting that they said they want to do it like Knives Out style as opposed to Scary Movie, because I think that's the move, and I think Knives Out is like a good, like, especially like with what's the second one that came out,
Glass Onion,
yeah, like, and I think that's the one that they said it as too. I think that'd be a fun series to parody, because there aren't like six Cabin in the Woodses, you know, and I can see them doing like a similar thing, like in the Knives Out sort of, you know, saga, doing other genres or tapping into other inspirations and doing the intellectual homework.
Yep.
And then
I think the Scary Movie people would do the Knives Out shit perfectly. I think they should do it.
I would love if like the Wayans was like, let's do one last ride.
They got the new kid. Yeah. Who's the new son that's breakout star? He's on.
Damon Wayans Jr.?
Yeah, dude. Damon Wayans Jr. is awesome.
He's been on fire, like, since he came out, and it sucks. Like, he had his show, he was on Happy People. What's Happy People? Good Friends?
Australia or Alaska?
Medium Friends? Or something like that?
Let me look. I forget what it was. Yeah, he's been around for a long
time.
Happy
Endings. That's what it was called. Happy Endings, yeah. Yeah, Damon Wayans Jr. was on Happy Endings. That show was so funny, and then it got canceled. I think either because of, like, the writer's strike or, like, some other bullshit. And I wish he was in more stuff. Yeah. Like,
you know what his first movie role was?
I want to say he was in Blank Man.
He was in Blank Man, which I love. He was a kid. I love Blank Man. I used to watch Blank Man all the time when I was a kid.
That is one of my formulative movies. Very crucial movie in my backstory.
Got you a grenade.
My nigga had a robot.
Yeah. What was it? Was it J5? Is that the name of it?
I wish that was like I want to make a Blank Man Beyond comic so bad. I think that'd be so dope.
Oh yeah.
I was just seeing this like an old grizzled Daryl that's just like, I don't do this anymore.
Like, I don't do this. Like, yeah. I hung up my utility belt. Oh man, God. That movie. That movie was on HBO all the time. I used to watch that movie all the time.
God, oh my God. That and The Lowdown Dirty Shame, those were like two movies I loved too much.
That and we used to also, what was the other one we watched all the time? Like, Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood or whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God. We have a problem. Dude, I want to say the line, but I can't. But it's so good.
So just on him,
the weapon reference. It's amazing. It's
they can absolutely, I think, do like a even like a Saw parody, which I think the third one was like us, but the third scare, like the one that they weren't involved in first. Mm. Like that
the one would have. The opening was a Saw parody, wasn't it?
With Dr. Yeah. The opening was
Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. Like cut their own legs off or something like that.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen Scary Movie 3, but God, good times.
Right. Well, I want to go ahead and wrap up here. Probably let you get going. But Daryl, was there anything you want to talk about this movie before we move on to headcanons?
Man, any other last fun things about this movie? I think this is a great movie that if you have a coworker that is a little questionable, I think they could watch this and laugh still and maybe get incepted a little something along the way. I think it's very fun. Like, I think you can, going into a movie like this, you know that it knows what it's doing. Yeah. So it's hard to want to act like it's not going to be good, especially when you see the people in it and you see the it's clearly a parody of another, you know, movie too. I think it's a fun time.
Yeah. So, well, and this director, like I knew this guy's name, Tim Story, but I didn't realize he directed.
Oh yeah. Tim Story was that dude.
Yeah. He directed Barbershop, Think Like a Man, both ride-alongs. He directed the Fantastic Four one, and Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer with our homie, with Doug Jones, our friend of the show, Doug Jones. I didn't realize that.
He knows Ice Cube and the Human Torch.
Yeah. Yeah, Ice Cube and Johnny Storm.
On our next episode, we're talking about the 1995 movie Kicking and Screaming. That's not the 2005 Will Ferrell movie Kicking and Screaming. It's 1995's Kicking and Screaming. So be sure to check that out, and as always, you can find us on social media, on Facebook at Danger Explosion Presents Headcanon, on Instagram at Headcanon Pod, on Twitter at Horror Movie Pod, and you can always follow the subreddit r/Horror Movie Pod. pod.
But you guys, do you have a headcanon you want to put forth, or I can go ahead? I can go first. Doesn't matter to me.
Can you go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. So, all right, my headcanon is just that, like, the hillbillies that got murdered in this movie, they got killed in this movie. My headcanon is just that their poor sisters in some shack out somewhere in the woods, the sisters of these guys that got killed are going to have to raise up their inbred babies all by themselves. And that's just my headcanon is just acknowledging that these guys got their sisters out there taking care of their inbred babies. That's it. That's all.
In the arms of the wind angels.
Yeah, cue the Sarah McLachlan music. Yeah.
For only $1 a day.
You too can take care of an inbred hillbilly.
Oh, I feel like, can I tie mine in with yours?
Yeah, instead? Please.
I'm going to drop my... No, never mind. Mine is going to be that the blackening game board, it just plays Matt Rife clips. I was going to make the connection that maybe he was one of the inbred babies.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good.
And they're like, you want me to what?
I wish they, as like for mine, I really wish, the kind of going off of yours too, like, I wish the voice of the blackening board was, like, multiple people. Like, I think it would be really funny just to have, like, if the voice changed and it was the people that died.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this board sounds like Morgan. And it's just like, oh, and then that way you can still have, like, them in the movie or like this game sounds like Morgan and Sean. They just like, shut up, stop. This is a stupid question.
and they're just like Jay Farrell be like, boom.
They're just like, is that Will Smith? Like,
right? It was him all along. They don't know.
Yeah. The game is just like, leave my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
And then the door shut.
It sounds cool.
We're locked in.
Will Smith is in this house. He's gonna slap our shit.
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
I think it'd just be that you got guy being like,
you got it.
Don't yeah. Cut your penis off.
Yeah, be like, okay, damn it, you got it. It was your job to watch out and make sure nobody did anything dumb.
He goes, all dicks matter.
Yeah.
Yes!
All dicks.
Oh, shit.
Right. The big signal is just like, like a cartoony wiener in the sky.
In the shape of a U.
A severely bent. And then you get like an advertisement, like an advertisement that's like, we can solve this situation for you. Oh, man. All right. Well, Daryl, I want to let you get going. Is there anything else you want to plug? Your podcast? Anything you want to direct people toward before we cut out here?
I co-host Spicy Magic Vibes podcast on all socials. You know, we just talk about goofy stuff, talk about movies, music. I'm going to be in Lexington doing Don't L comedy on the 8th of December. So that'll be fun. Actually, on the 9th, forgive me. It'll be on the 9th. That'll be really fun. Otherwise, just find me on socials at Ragtag Daryl. Nice. And then I shook my fingers and my thumb because I just remembered that this is a podcast.
Awesome. No, well, thank you. Thank you for joining us again, Daryl. Thank you, everyone at home, for listening. This has been Headcanon.